I'm reading from Matthew 25. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, it is open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh."
Excuse me. Thank you. That should be my line. Good morning again. Glad that everyone is here on a beautiful morning in September. Fall is coming. We know we get just a little taste of cooler mornings, which is nice. I want to kind of talk about that as we springboard into our lesson. We know fall is coming, which is my favorite time of the year. But it is followed by winter, which I can't tell you is my favorite time of the year. There is a place for winter, and I'm glad we have one, but it's not my favorite. But what do we do in the winter? We use what we have stored in the summer, right? Now, we're not quite as familiar with that, many of us, as we were in our culture in times past, because the Kroger shelves look pretty much the same all the time, except in the produce section, which tends to change some. But with our ability to bring imports in from the southern hemisphere, you pretty much can get most things most of the time. But Charles and I were talking earlier. He said, "You're back in the hay business." I hauled hay yesterday. I was not alone. If you look right around our building, there's hay on the ground and being rolled all around us. For what? For winter that is coming. For the winter that is coming. And the reason I say that, we know it's coming. And so we make preparation for winter. And I want to talk about preparation this morning for what is coming. Now, the difference is we kind of know when winter comes, right? We know kind of with dates. Now, we're not sure exactly when the cold spell is going to be, because I have seen December murderously cold. And I have seen Christmas Day when, if you wanted to, you could have jumped in the pool. And all in between. So, but we know that time is coming. Now, here's the teaching of Scripture, but it is important. The Lord is going to return. In that, there is no doubt. There is no doubt that Jesus is going to return. And with the return of Jesus comes great and glorious things. With the return of Jesus, everything will be made new. With the return of Jesus, the curse will be lifted. With the return of Jesus, the former things that burden us and sorrow us will pass away. But also with the return of Jesus comes judgment. With the return of Jesus comes judgment, where we're going to give an accounting to God for what we have done in faith and what we have done in practice. And so the Scripture is very clear that we should be prepared for that to come. That we shouldn't be caught off guard by the coming of Jesus. Now, I'm going to talk about that a little more, that being caught off guard. But know that it is coming, and so we need to make preparation. Now, most of the time when we're putting up canned goods for the winter, or when we're putting up hay for the winter, when are we doing that? When it's hot. When it's hot. And you kind of wonder, why are you doing it now? It's hot. Because we know that that's going to change, right? That's why we do it. My dad we used to cut wood a lot in the winter. When I was in high school, we heated the house predominantly with wood heat. And so it was almost the Saturday routine through the fall and winter that kind of one of the last things we do on Saturday before we come home was cut a truckload of wood. And we got pretty good at cutting a truckload of wood. We can stack a truck pretty quick and head home. In fact, I'll just share this little personal note. The last time I was cutting some wood with Dad, this was long after we'd quit heating with wood heat. It seemed really interesting. When I went away from home, they quit with wood heat. That's about the same time they quit the garden. Although, you know, as a kid, you never did anything, but it all stopped when you were gone. Not that I did the most, but we'd work on that together. But the last time we were cutting wood, we were cutting some big pieces, and Dad was swinging the maul to split it. And I thought, like a good son, Dad, let me split some wood. He said, no, I can do it. And when we got finished, he said, wasn't it I really didn't want you to help me, but he said, I'd rather split it as bend over and pick it up. So, you know, it was, he was doing what he'd done. The job he liked much better. And so we would cut wood. And my dad always said, when he was growing up, you were pretty sorry if you were cutting wood in the winter. That you should have your wood cut in the summer and laid by for winter. You ought not be cutting wood in the winter. You ought to have all that laid by and done. But we were pretty sorry because we were cutting wood in the winter. And I knew the message he was saying. But you make preparation. And the scripture is very clear that we should make preparation for the Lord's return and be caught waiting. Because if we try to make preparation at the last minute, the Lord may return and we'll be caught unaware. We'll be caught unprepared for Jesus' return. It's just like teaching our children or at work or whatever we're doing. Get your homework done. But what do most of us want to do? What do most of our children want to do? And if we're honest, probably what we did when we were in school. It's not due until Tuesday or Wednesday. So I've got plenty of time to do it. But then what inevitably happens? Something comes up. And today the internet goes down. And if the internet goes down, you can't do your homework. At least some of it. Because part of our kids' assignments is on the internet. You can't download it. They have to go to the internet and do it, which is all right. But, you know, the internet can go down. And so you can't do it, or somebody will invite you to go somewhere that you want to go, or something will happen. And what's happened? You got to get your homework done. So the lesson that our grandparents taught our parents and our parents taught us and we're trying to teach our children is don't wait to the last minute. That's exactly what Jesus is saying in the scripture. Don't wait, because in waiting, you may be caught unprepared. The bridegroom may return. Because at one time, these 10 young ladies were prepared for the bridegroom to come, weren't they? They were there and they were waiting and they had their lamps all ready. But the bridegroom delayed in his coming. And they had not made enough preparation. They had not stayed vigilant. They had gotten sleepy and they were unprepared. And so the bridegroom comes and the door is shut and they're knocking to get in, and the bridegroom says, I don't know you. It's too late. You weren't prepared. Let's look at the first part of 25. Or is it the end? What the next verse is? 24:36. Here's what we know. About the day or the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Okay? Do we know when Jesus is going to return? No. And so, as I've shared this with you before, this is not about selling a book or a television show about when it's coming. Because all through my life, we've had those predictions about when Jesus was going to return. Right? And timetables, and they prove wrong. It's kind of interesting Somebody will make a big hoopla about knowing, do a book and a whole series of things, and then it's wrong, and they'll go back and say, oh, we made one miscalculation, and a few years later they'll redo the calculation, and then they'll redo a book that people run out and buy. I'm not buying the books because we don't know. Now, we can tell things, I guess, in the signs, and the Scripture talks about that, that the end is near, but a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day with God. So we don't know. We don't know when it will be. Only God the Father Himself knows. But we need to be prepared. It's not something that you can guess. It's like trying to time the market. That's a fool's game. You can't time the market because what happens? One time you sell out because you think it's going down and you miss this great move up in the market. And the next time you say, I think the market's got legs, and you stay in, and what happens? The bottom drops out. You just don't know. You can't time it. And everybody who's supposed to be smart says all kinds of things. And nobody really knows. Nobody knows when the Lord's going to return. But we know this. He's returning. And I think this is a great analogy or a great lesson. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, did anyone expect the flood beside Noah? No. Nobody expected the flood beside Noah because nobody believed Noah. Noah preaches for hundreds of years and nobody believes him. But Noah's building an ark. Crazy Noah. Building an ark. We've never had a flood before. Why is Noah building the ark? Because God said the flood is coming, right? And Noah gets on the ark and the flood comes. And who's saved? Noah is. Why? Because he believed God and he made preparation. He believed God and he made preparation. But what was going on right before the first raindrops fell? Life was going on that day just like it had gone on every day before. People got up that morning and they ate breakfast and they went about their business and they planned in their day and their weekends and their future about what they were going to do because it was a day like every other day. And then the rain came. And once the rains came, what could they do? Nothing. There was nothing left to do. The time to make preparation had come and gone. But God told them through Noah it was coming. But they didn't believe, or they didn't think it was going to happen to them. Or it's not going to happen now. Let's read just a few verses down. Therefore, keep watch. Here's the lesson for us. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know on what day our Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? We made a whole movie, Home Alone, on what you can do if you know when and where the burglars are coming, right? You can make great plans. If we knew when the burglar was coming, we'd be prepared. And I'll leave it up to your thought and imagination how you would prepare for that. But we would make some preparation. But the thief always comes when? when we don't know they're coming, when we don't expect them? And is there an eerier feeling than to come home and your back door be wide open? And then you walk in and the TV is not hanging on the wall. And the shotgun is not behind the door. And your jewelry box is poured out on the bed and empty. And then you lay there at night thinking, somebody uninvited was in my house. And they went through my stuff. Been broken into a couple of times in my life. And that's both times kind of the thought. Somebody uninvited was here, and it's an eerie feeling. And then it kind of turns to angry that somebody came in uninvited and took my stuff. You know, that they came, not their place and not their things, and they took what wasn't theirs, what wasn't ours. But never knew when they were coming, because I'm pretty sure I would have rearranged my schedule. Rearranged my schedule had I known. But I didn't know. But we have an alarm system to be as prepared as possible, right? Make some preparation, because you don't know. And so the lesson here is, if we knew what time, we just get ready right before. Like, if we knew when the burglar was coming, we wouldn't worry about locking the doors. We'd say, burglar not coming today. But next Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning, the burglar's coming. I'm scheduled to be off work. I'm going to be at home. Or I'm going to hire somebody to be at home. Or we'll just call the sheriff's department and say, next Tuesday at 10 o'clock, they're going to break in my house. Would you take care of that? Yes, we'll be there. We'll pick them up. That's silly, isn't it? But we don't know. But the analogy is, we don't know when Jesus is returning. And once all your stuff's gone, what can you do? Just be sad about it being gone and that you've been violated. So you have to be prepared. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. You won't expect Him when He comes. But that means that we should be prepared, right? The parables many of the parables Jesus taught were about doing the right thing all the time. So when the Master returns, you'll be found doing the right thing, or be prepared, right? Scripture talks about that, to do the right, because you never know. It even talks about a master over an estate who abuses the workers. Honestly, but if he'd known the Master was coming back, he wouldn't have done that. He would have been prepared. So we need to be prepared all the time, because Jesus is going to return. And I want to talk about, since we've talked about harvesting for a moment, I want to talk about the man who built bigger barns. The man who built bigger barns. Now, the Master didn't return in this parable, but the man had built bigger barns because he had been blessed with a great crop. And so he built these bigger barns to store up and got everything kind of laid by. And what was going to be, how was life going to be for him? It was going to finally be easier. Right? Isn't that the story of the man who built the bigger barns? Life was finally going to be easier. He had things prepared. He had things laid by. He wasn't going to have to work so hard because he had some in storage. But then that night, his life was taken from him. He died. And so all that he had laid up couldn't help him when he died. And so not only do we not know when the Lord's coming, but we don't know when our lives will end. We just don't know. Most of us that have any age on us have gotten that phone call out of the blue that changed our world. Got that phone call that someone had died unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. We never know. You know, we absolutely never know. We never know when it will be our time. Due to our health, due to an accident. You know, every time we get in the car, You absolutely never know. Or, you know, maybe you're just at the wrong convenience store at the wrong time. We never know. Now I don't want you to be scared. That doesn't scare me. That's just a fact of life, isn't it? It's just a fact of life. We don't want to think about it, but that's just the facts. It might be an 18-wheeler, or it might be a little tiny blood clot. You know, you just don't know. Or maybe it's a little virus. Don't be in fear. Be prepared. The lesson this morning is just be prepared. Because the Lord is going to return, and it's important that we be prepared, because when the rain starts, it's too late to prepare. When we hear the trumpet sound, it's too late to prepare. Now's the time to be prepared for the Lord's return. And we get caught up in lots of things as people and even as a church. We worry and think about a lot of things, and a lot of them are important. But if we forget this fact, we've really forgotten a great part of our mission, and that's to be prepared. It's a great part of our mission as a church to be prepared and to remind people that the end is coming. Each one of our ends and the ends of this world as we know it, and to be prepared for that. And we can be prepared. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross for us, right? If this doesn't bring sadness, it should bring joy. It should bring joy that the troubles that we're in are going to end. Paul wasn't upset about that, was he? Paul didn't say, death is going to come to me and I'm sad. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'll be better off. That's a great message, isn't it? It's not the message of, you know, one day you're going to have to die. You're not getting out of here alive. So, be prepared. It's the Lord's going to return and it will be glorious. Be prepared. For those of us who are children of God, it will be a glorious time. It will be the greatest time we have ever known. We can't even imagine it. Don't dread it. Look forward to it. And not only should we be prepared, but it has to be our message to the world. It's for the world to be prepared. For our friends to be prepared. For our family to be prepared. Because if we're not prepared for the Lord's return, then everything else we do is a waste of time. Is it not? Because what had happened is the man who built bigger barns was preparing for the wrong thing. Now, as I've told you, I don't think the point of this parable is his prosperity or it being a bad thing. Or even saving and storing up. Because that's not why God's angry with it. It was because he had become dependent on those things, right? He said, now no matter what happens, I'm prepared. No, he wasn't. He wasn't prepared for the most important thing. And that was meeting God. He was prepared for a lot of important things. Like having plenty to eat, which is an important thing. Having the ability to take care of himself, to have housing and to provide for the needs of his family. Because not only was that grain just for food, but you could trade it, right? We do every day. You sell the extra. I mean, he had made preparation for lots of things, but not the most important thing. And that's the Lord's return. Each of us has to answer the question personally this morning. Are we prepared for the Lord's return? Are we prepared? And are we helping others to be prepared for the Lord's return? How many of us agree that being prepared for the Lord's return is the most important thing? Show of hands. For everyone who's still awake, that being prepared for the Lord's return is the most important thing. How much time do you prepare for a career? How many years of school? How much college? Maybe. If that's your career or apprenticeship. How much do you study about your career and read about it and further that? How much do we push our kids to make good grades? Take them around to different colleges. Talk to them about what degree they're going to get. That I'm not paying for underwater basket weaving. Great degree, but there are no career opportunities. Right? Is that not discussion we have? Are those good discussions? Yes, I think they're good discussions. But the reason I just ask that, and that just brings one point. How much time do we prepare for the most important thing, and that's the Lord's return? How much time do we prepare? Personally, in preparing our families and our friends. If it's the most important thing, then we have to make it the most important thing and keep it the most important thing. And I know we often say, well, I sure like to do this differently. I'd like to study more. I'd like to be more about God's business, but I really don't have the time. We always make time for that which is truly important to us. And so it's important for us to remember what the most important thing is and make the time for it. And if we truly love others and we know it's the most important thing, we're going to share it. We're going to share it. Because when it is the priority, we're about discussing it, being prayerful about it, and sharing it. I have no idea when Jesus is going to return. I know with the flux in our society, you know, people will talk about it's got to be soon because things are bad. Well, things are not like they've always been, but they're nowhere near as bad as they can be or as they have been. Because how were things in the days of Noah? It says from the time they got up in the morning all day long, all they thought about was evil. God could find one righteous man. That's Noah. There are more righteous people on the earth today than one. What about Sodom and Gomorrah when they were destroyed? There's Lot and his family, and that was it. That was it. That was all. Now, someday, the Lord will return. It may be in our lifetime. It may not be. But when the Lord returns, we need to be prepared. Because it will be a glorious day for those who are ready to go into the feast. I like feast. We don't use that term much, feast. It almost sounds gluttonous, doesn't it? Let's just be honest. It kind of sounds gluttonous. We don't hardly use the term feast. But deep down in our hearts, most of us like feast. By any other name, the food tastes just as good, right? Because the thing about a feast is not just great food. When we think about a feast, it's not just about great food, but it's about friendship and fellowship, all the things that make life wonderful, right? When you think about a feast, you just think about a good time. You think about a good time. And can you imagine what kind of feast our God has prepared for us? You think you've had good food and fellowship at Milton, which you have. But man, what about what God has prepared for us? The reason I say that, it's something to look forward to. Be ready for the feast. Be prepared for the Lord's return. And as a church, we need to be about helping prepare our community. It's the most important thing. And so we should prioritize it as the most important thing. The most important thing is being prepared when the Lord returns. You know, God's prepared the feast. God prepared the sacrifice. He gave His only Son as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. And He just calls us to be prepared. Just be watching and ready and waiting. Know my truths and be ready. Don't let Satan distract us from what's the most important. Spend our lives seeking that which is most important. Because if we do that, what does the Lord say? will receive a reward. That's biblical. It's biblical that we'll receive a reward. We're unworthy. I understand that completely. But there'll be a reward for those who give up in this life to make preparation for the world that's to come. And if we truly love folks, we've got to be involved in their lives, teaching them the truth about Jesus so they'll be prepared when the Lord returns. Jesus died on a cross that we might be prepared. That instead of living without hope and dreading the fact that death is coming and dreading the fact that this world will end and all the fears that that might bring, that we might constantly be in hope and excitement about the greater days that are ahead. If you're not prepared for the Lord's return, we'd ask you to come today and give your life to Christ and be washed in baptism, or ask for the prayers of this congregation of people, and for all of us, for those we know who are not prepared, let's be about sharing the good news and stirring the fires of faith in God. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.